Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
He basically was like, you know, trying to prepare me and to deliver this message. And I just started crying because I was like, you don't even need to finish your sentence. Like, I know where this is going, you know. And I remember that he put his hand on my shoulder and he was like, Elder Williams, I feel very prompted to tell you, God is not finished with your job here.
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend.
Welcome to Short Story Wednesday on Angels Among Us. Each week, we bring you a short but powerful story to lift your spirits and remind you that God is in even the smallest details of your life. If you have a story you'd like to share, we'd be honored to hear it.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Short Story Wednesday. Just Brent here. Michaela is not here. I wanted to meet with Dalton just by myself anyway. I think we just became best friends. So I'm joined here by Dalton Williams. I've been following Dalton for a while. He does some kind of apologetics for our faith, our church. So you can go check him out if you ever have any questions or concerns about what those crazy Mormons believe. But and if not, if you don't want to follow him, that's fine. But regardless, he's got a cool story that he's going to share with us today. So Dalton, I'm excited to have you here. I'd love for you to just give a brief introduction, kind of tell everybody where you're from, what you do, and then go ahead and get going on your story.
Yeah, totally. And thanks for having me. I agree. I think we did just become best friends in the short time talking here. So couldn't agree more. Kind of like you said, my name's Dalton. I run the Instagram page that's Unashamed Truth 116, just referencing to Romans 1:16. It's my favorite scripture. It just, you know, I'm unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's something that I live my life by and kind of what I built everything around. Like you mentioned, I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I love my church. I love my faith. That doesn't take away any of the love that I have for my Christian brothers and sisters. I think that there's a spot at God's table for all of us. And one day we all may laugh while we're all in heaven and see who got it right, you know. But I look forward to that day. So, the story that I wanted to share with you, I was living over in Germany doing some missionary work for the church. We do what's called a service mission, right, as the LDS church, where essentially we sign up for a mission where we say, hey, church, wherever you want to send me, whenever you want to send me, in whatever language you want me to speak, send me there, right? And so 7 weeks later, I got my mission call to Berlin, Germany. I took some German in high school where I didn't pay attention in class and got my mission call. And about 10 weeks later, showed up at the MTC and had a crash course on all the gospel that I thought I knew and the language that I had no idea what I was doing. And then was set out in Germany and basically told to survive. So if you're unfamiliar with LDS missions, they're pretty intense. We basically really have to rely on the Lord. We'll just put it that way.
Absolutely.
But it was a great time. But in a nutshell, the story that I want to share is from that time period where I was there. I was in a little town called Bielefeld. It's over in Western Germany. And Germans play a lot of soccer there, right? So one of the events that we would kind of put on every week is we would host like a soccer night, right? Where luckily the church building, we had a massive park behind it and two really, really nice soccer goalposts and a pretty good place where we could play soccer. So part of the agreement was is we'd have like a little cookout and do like a barbecue, and anyone that came in, if the Mormons won, then the other team had to stay after and like listen to a spiritual thought while we ate food and all sorts of stuff, right? And so, and Germans are competitive. I'm super competitive. I will tell you, I'm not a soccer player. I come from a wrestling, a boxing, MMA family. Like that's, we're very much combat sport oriented. So soccer was kind of a sissy sport to me at the time, right? And I couldn't, you know, like everything was a foul. And so it was a little bit of a learning curve for me. But yeah, anyway, on one of those days while we are playing, the night before it had rained a little bit. And the way that the field kind of was set up is it had these massive trees around it. But there was one particular patch of grass that saw almost no sunlight, right? So the rest of the field was pretty dry. Mm-hmm. But the far right corner of the field, there was like a 6x6 square that just never saw the sun. And this is important, as I later found out. But so, you know, I had my soccer cleats. I didn't invest in shin guards. So I was like, whatever, those are for sissies, right? And we were playing. Everything was going great. And it's probably the last, I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes that we're playing, right? And again, I'm not very good. So the only thing that I could do was run down the right side. And if they pass it to me, I could essentially kick with my right foot at that right angle to get into the goal. That was about all I was good for, right? And I got schooled every single time by the Germans. And they were compassionate enough to be like, hey, you're doing good. And I was like, that's what I tell my 3-year-old, you know, when he just tried to draw me a picture or something. So anyway, I decided to try and carry my weight a little bit more. And I got the ball, and I don't know what had come over me that day. I was feeling like Ronaldo or Messi and trying to like do some cool stuff with my feet, and I probably just looked like an awkward duck. But I think of it like a crossover in basketball where I planted my foot. My foot didn't come back up. Right. So what ended up happening was the momentum and my foot being lodged in the mud. Essentially my right shoulder hit the ground, but my foot stayed up like this. So, heard quite a few cracks, a lot of pops, never good sounds. Right. And for me, I'm kind of rolling now to try and not hit my foot on the ground because I can tell something's wrong. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, out of all the wrestling matches and all the cage fighting and all these other things that I've done, like, this is what injures me. Like, oh, I'm never going to live this down. Right. So, you know, an injury is bad when you're laying on the ground and you go to look at it. And one of the soccer players who wasn't a member, keep in mind, didn't know me very well. He shoves my head back in the mud and he says, trust me, it's better you don't look.
Oh my goodness.
And so I was like, huh. And right now I've got adrenaline. Like, I'm like, it doesn't hurt. Like, mm-hmm. What's going on back there? It just feels weird. And then the adrenaline starts to wear off and I'm like, oh, something's very wrong. Right. And, anyway, there's a member that lives across the street there who was in a leadership position in our church, known as an Area 70. And I've only ever seen this man in a shirt, tie, suit, you know, very gospel oriented, very much just preaching from the pulpit. That's kind of his role with our church. And I've never seen him in anything other than a suit. And he comes running across the field, and there was a soccer game. Like the city, their city team was also going to be playing a game. So he was getting ready to go to that. So he was all dressed up, like face paint, you name it. And it was kind of a funny experience to see him. But yeah, so they basically are like, okay, we need to get you to the hospital, right? And if we're calling an ambulance, it's going to take forever. Like, we're just going to throw you in the back of the car and we're going to go. And if this doesn't tell you the German mindset in a nutshell, I don't know what will. But keep in mind, my foot should be like this, and it's like this, right? And it's just like hanging, right? And as they're scooping my body and putting me in the car, this German guy has the audacity to look me in the eye and go, hey, I know you're hurt, but please don't put your cleats on the leather, okay? We just got this cleaned. It's green. And I'm like, dude, I promise you that's the last thing that I care about right now. Like, just get me to the hospital. Anyway, so what felt like 3 days in the car, I'm sure it was only probably something like 45 minutes to an hour. We get to the hospital and, you know, we're waiting in the waiting room, and I just remember being in agony and just praying to God, like, please, like, just make it so that this isn't the end for me, you know, because essentially an injured missionary, there's not really much you can do, since, you know, for those of you who aren't super familiar with an LDS mission, we do a lot of walking, we do a lot of door knocking, we do a lot of street contacting. You know, those really annoying guys that knock on your door with the name tags, and like, that was what I was doing, right? And so I was really worried that there would be no place for me and that they would send me home. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to finish my mission, and it was something that I had, you know, committed to and really wanted to finish. So that was in the back of my mind. Obviously I was questioning if I'd ever be able to run again. I mean, there was a lot of fear, a lot of doubt, a lot of scary, bad thoughts going through my head. And again, bless his heart, this particular leader in our church, he you know, wheels us in, and Germany is a first come, first serve medical system, right? So everything's paid for, which is nice, but everyone's equal. So there's a, you know, little grandma that stuck her needle through her finger. There's a construction dude that hit his thumb, and some teenager that I think like ate something too much on a dare and like had chronic diarrhea. Like, all these guys are in front of me, and then I'm over there with like my foot like what, right? And so I'm just like, there's got to be a way to do this. And anyway, so, you know, my companion runs over, and he's like talking to the, I guess, like my coworker, the guy that was always with me, my roommate. But he runs over to the nurse and he's like, is there anything we can do? And she just, you know, kind of gave him some attitude. It's like, no, like, you're American, sit down, like, you know, kind of. It was like, oh, you're preaching Jesus and you're American, like, you're not at the top of the list, you know. And anyway, so again, this other Adler, well, he comes on over, and he talks to the lady for a little bit, and he can't persuade her. And so he walks back over to us, and I'll never forget it. He kind of like crouched. He's massive, like super tall, Dirk Nowitzki type, like German guy, right? And he like crouches down next to me. I'm in a wheelchair at the time. And he goes, elders, why do you think Jesus picked the apostles that he did? And in my head, I'm thinking, this is a really weird time for a sermon, you know, like, this is not the time or place for this. And he's like, entertain me here for a second. Like, why do you think he picked the apostles? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, he saw them for who they were, you know, trying to figure something out. And he's like, do you feel like they were the perfect candidates for mission to be missionaries? It's like, no, not at all, actually. You know, like, most of them were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. Like, I don't really think any of them fit the mold to be a preacher. He goes, right. He's like, God calls imperfect people who have flaws to do his work. And I was like, yeah. He's like, remember that. And I was like, okay. And he stands up and he turns around and he just starts yelling at this nurse. And I mean, just going off, like, how dare you be so inhospitable to these guys? Like, they are our guests in our country. And he just lays into her. And I'm just like, wow, this is like, I haven't heard these kind of words from, you know, like, this is from my rancher grandpa. Like, I'm having flashbacks to that, you know? So he just is like, and you just get them to that room and da 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 da. And so we're like, whoa. So the lady's like, oh, surprisingly, we had a room open up. Like, we'll get you right back there. And, you know, and so after he goes on, and we get pulled into this room, and he's just yelling and cursing at her and all this stuff. And finally he ends his rant with, and for crying out loud, don't you know that our team is playing tonight? Not a single TV in this building has the game on. What's wrong with you people? You know, anyway, I love the man to death. He's the only thing bigger than that dude's hands was his heart, right? So just a great human being. But so we're sitting there, and now obviously I have no adrenaline, right? I'm feeling everything. I'm trying to grit my teeth and just kind of bear it down. And I've seen my foot at this point, so I'm like, oh, like, going in and out of consciousness, and it's bad, right? But yeah, I just remember just sobbing, and I'm sure half of it was from the pain, but half of it was from the recollection that I was like, I'm gone. Like,
Going
there's
home.
no way that I can continue my mission, you know? I was trying to look at the bright side, and I was like, I can't find one right now.
How long had you been out at that point?
I had been out about 14 months. So I still had a good chunk of my mission left, mm-hmm. you know? And so it was heartbreaking to me because I had all these goals and I had people that, you know, I loved and I was watching them come unto Christ and I loved it. And so that the idea of like losing all this progress of all the hard work that I've done to help other people strengthen their testimony that Jesus is the Christ. It was heartbreaking to me because I'd watched some of these people, you know, come out of the gutters as drunks and like get their life together and were starting to really make some genuine progress because they turned their burdens over to the Lord. And so I was just, you know, I loved that. I loved feeling that feeling of like, hey, I got to help Jesus Christ find this person, you know? And that was all going to go away. And that was like what I lived for that. That's the reason I woke up every single day, you know? And so, I was really going through it. All the emotions were hitting me. And, anyway, and then I you know, we hear a soft tapping at the door and this gentleman walks in and he's, one of the doctors and he specialized over like x-rays, kind of like an executive assistant for the doctors. Right. You know, and he comes in and at this point I was in so much pain that I was hearing the German conversations, but I can't remember them all because my brain was so focused on my foot. But they were obviously talking, him and you know, my companion, and then also the member of our church that was with us. And he basically was like, hey, I'm going to take you down. Like, let me look at your foot. And he just, you know, I didn't even have to see what he did. He looked at my foot and was like, ooh, like. And I'm like, that's never a good sign. Cause Germans, again, emotionless, like they're just cold, you know, like very much like, yeah, that looks bad. Right. So when he's like, oh bro, I'm like, oh no, like it's that bad, you know? And I'm like, I'm so done. Anyway, he's like, we need to get some x-rays to see the extent of this, you know? And so he takes me back and again, what felt like forever, I don't know the approximate time, but you know, my foot kind of getting contorted and all the angles that they needed for these photos. And I'm over there and they don't do medication. Like we in America have painkillers. We have, you know, ibuprofen, we have Aleve, we have all these things. And they don't do that over there. Like those are prescription medications in Germany. Like it's very hard to just get those. Right. And so I'm like, can I have any of this? They're like, no, not until we diagnose like what's going on. And I'm like, I'm like, dude, if I was in America right now, I would be higher than a kite. You know? Like, I cannot believe this is happening to me. But yeah, so we go through, they take the x-rays, they wheel me back to my room, and sure enough, you know, the other who comes back in the room, he walked outside, spoke with the doctor and came in and kind of delivered the message to me. And he was like, hey, the doctor is very much under the opinion that you're going to need multiple surgeries, to fix your foot. What had happened was, is I had snapped, it was three of the major like ligaments and tendons. One of them being the synapse mosa, I think I don't know if that's English as well. I have all the German records still, but essentially the big three, there's like four main ones and three of them I had snapped, severed, basically just destroyed. Right. And so he basically was like, you know, trying to prepare me and to deliver this message. And I just started crying because I was like, you don't even need to finish your sentence. Like, I know where this is going, you know? And I remember that he put his hand on my shoulder and he was like, Elder Williams, I feel very prompted to tell you, God is not finished with your job here. And I'll be honest, I was a doubting Thomas. I was like, look at my foot. Like, what do you want me to do? Wheelchair find? Like, what, you know, how do you want me to do this? You know? And he in our religion, we have what's, you know, called a priesthood blessing, where essentially he prays over me and invites the Holy Spirit to kind of work on me and basically ask God for a miracle, right? And so he gives me this blessing and in that he kind of echoes the same thing where he says, you know, I feel prompted again to tell you that the Lord's not done with you here. Your mission is not complete here. There are still people in Germany who need you. So I went home that night. They sent me home. They didn't even keep me overnight. The foot specialist, that particular doctor was on vacation in Hawaii and didn't get back in until the following day at noon. That was when he was coming back into the office, right? And so they were like, the assistant guy was so confident in his diagnosis. He's like, yeah, like I just officially, I'm not the end say for this, but like, you're probably gonna need to fly back to, like, we'll probably do a stabilization surgery here, and then you'll fly back to America and you'll have your first, surgery here, and they'll put a pin in here, and da, 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 and all this stuff, right? And he's like, yeah, technically I have to wait for the final signature on this doctor, but like, just mentally be prepared for that, right? So I went home. We jimmy rigged, like I used my winter scarf, and they put me in like a, I don't know if you ever played Halo, like the video game, but they essentially gave me this boot that was like Master Chief's boot, and I just had to set my foot in there, and it like kind of held everything, and it was so painful. And then I just like boosted that up in the little scarf that held my foot up.
Were you able to get
And
any pain medication at that time?
they still wouldn't give me any because the doctor hadn't given me an official. It was the longest night of my life. It was so bad. But I really was thinking, I was like, I don't know how this is gonna work, but the spirit was letting me know, like, hey, watch this, right? And I was like, dude, I don't know what the heck that means, but like whatever's gonna happen, like please make it happen. And so I remember I finally fell asleep that night, and I was just in pain, and it hurt, and I just remember like all the feels, all the emotions, like you name it, right? This is essentially like what I had been working towards as a teenager, and on was like, this was it, like, and so that was really, really hurting my emotional status. And anyway, I basically cried myself to sleep, and I woke up the next morning, and I was like, my legs still hurt, my foot still hurt, but I was like, huh, like a lot of the pressure's gone. I was like, that's really weird. And so I was able to take my foot, holding my knee, I like lifted it up out of the sling by myself, which I was not able to do the day before. And my companion, who had just woken up, like looked over at me. He's like, did you just move your foot? And I was like, yeah. He's like, don't do that. And I was like, okay, good, probably a good idea, right? And I was able to like shift my foot on my bed, like not me move it, but like I was able to move my leg, and it wasn't like super pain. It was uncomfortable, but it wasn't like painful. And I was like, that's weird. I wasn't able to do that yesterday, right? So I'm like telling my companion these things, and he's like, dude, you're probably just waking up. Your body's probably still in shock. Like, no more. Don't mess with it. I was like, yeah, you're probably right. So we get picked back up by a toddler. He takes us back to the hospital for our follow-up visit. We get there, and the technician, radiology assistant guy, is there to greet us. And he's just kind of like, it's just routine. He's like, yep, so here's this. I've got the copies of the photos, all this stuff. So he introduces me to the foot surgeon guy, who his assistant has essentially prepped, like, we're gonna need to get him on the table probably the same visit that he comes in, right? Like, we just need to hammer this out. He's gonna get sent home. And because they had looked at like the church insurance that we had, like the way that everything, all the details. But so the doctor, kind of takes my boot off, and he's looking at my foot, and he's just like, let me see those x-rays again. And so he's looking at the x-rays, and he's looking at my foot, and he's like kind of like moving it, and I'm like, ow. And he's like, that should hurt a lot more than an ow, And so I'm just kind of like, I don't know, dude. Like, I wouldn't be faking this. Like, I got, trust me, I got better things to do with my time. And he's like, he grabs his assistant, and like they're clearly arguing about something. And he's like, can I talk with you outside? So they go outside for 5, 10 minutes, right? And the assistant comes back in like fuming, like just huffing and puffing. He's just like, okay, we're gonna take you back, we're gonna redo the x-rays, da 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 da. And so clearly he had got like chewed out by his boss for not adequately doing the x-rays. And so we're like wheeling it down, and the other and this doctor, the surgeon guy, they're talking, and he's just like, yeah, my assistant, he's never really been wrong before, but like, I don't think he did this correct. Like, something's off, right? And it's after the fact that I hear about that conversation, right? So at the time, I'm just like living my best life in my wheelchair now. And so they do the same thing as yesterday, and this time when he's doing the movements, I'm like, wow, it's not as incredibly painful this time. It's like, that's kind of weird. And I'm like, maybe I'm just used to the pain. Like, am I tough? Like, now that it's over, like, am I just accepted it? And anyway, so they go through and they do another round of these you know, photos and x-rays and whatever else you want to call it. And I don't see their conversations. They kind of wheel me out, and Elder Adler's in the room with them, right? While the doctor, and because he's kind of like our liaison now. And they're in there for like 15 minutes, right? Which this is supposed to be a simple, like, yep, here's where it's broke, here's where whatever, right? And Elder Adler, the three of them walk out of the room. Elder Adler is just beaming from ear to ear. The executive assistant guy is fuming. And then the doctor is just like, why is everyone wasting my time? Right. So they come back in the room, and the doctor essentially, he's like, okay, so here's the good news and the bad news. He's like, you definitely messed your foot up. Like, it's still very much injured in multiple spots. Right. He's like, however, there's no need for surgery. All of your injuries are exactly in the right spot and will heal with time naturally, which was not the situation the day before. And so the doctor walks out of the room. Like, I don't ever see that guy again. The surgeon guy, don't ever see him again. He was just kind of like, all right, on our next patient. Like, he had no dog in that fight because he did not see me the day before. Right. So then the x-ray technician assistant guy comes up to me, and he's like interrogating me. He's like, what doctor did you go to last night? Like, I don't get this wrong. Like, I've been, this guy's been my mentor for like 3 years. Like, I'm going to be like equal with him. Like, I'm going to, you know, he's like all these plans. He's like, this really hurts my reputation. Like, how dare you? Like, what did you do? I told you not to go anywhere. Like, just starts getting mad at me. I'm like, bro, if you think for a second I was able to do anything yesterday, you're crazy, you know? And like, part of it, like, I was probably could have been nicer to him, but I was like, don't attack me, dude. I can't even walk. Like, what do you think I possibly did? Like, you know, I was like, you saw my foot. He's like, I know I saw your foot. That's why, like, you had to have done something. You had to have done something. You had to have something, right? So finally, I kind of, in a frustration, but also like in the missionary tone of me, I'm like, dude, I don't know. It's probably God. Like, I'm serving him. Have you thought about maybe he's just like looking after me a little bit, you know? And like, partly I was saying that to be sarcastic, right? But then part of me was like, well, crap, that's a good point, because I don't know what else would it would have been. And so the guy goes, I don't believe in God. God doesn't exist. I've never believed in God. He's never once been there for me. And that was an outburst from that guy, right? And so then I was like, oh, bro, like, I'm sorry to hear that. He's like, no, like, that, whatever. Like, I don't know why I got so emotional about that, but like, God doesn't exist. I've looked for God, you know, and I've never found him, and da 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 da. And so this is when I realized that God really truly works in mysterious ways. Elder Adler heard that outburst from me and from the technician guy. And so he walks in and he goes, Elder, do you have a set of scriptures on you? You have like a Bible and whatever else? And I'm like, yeah, we do. You know, I was like, what do you want? And he, you know, he picked the scriptures he wanted out of the backpack. And he looks at the technician guy and he goes, so you don't believe in God, huh? He goes, yeah. He goes, take a walk with me real quick. And so he and this technician guy go on a walk. They're gone for like 20 minutes, right? And I don't know what was said. I don't know what was done. I don't know any of the intricate details of what happened in that conversation. What I do know is when we got back, the technician guy, a little bit puffy in the face. And I'll tell you what, there, I can count on one hand when I've seen Germans cry. And I was like, you were crying, bro. You know, like, you were crying. And I don't want to call him out on it, but I could tell like something had gotten him emotional. He came in, he apologized for his outburst. He wished me the best, said, I wish you speedy recovery. And he walked out, and I never saw him again. I have no idea what happened to him. But what I can tell you is that Elder Adler pulled me to the side, and he kind of said the same thing. He said, the Lord works in mysterious ways, Elder Williams. He's like, had you not broken your foot, I don't think that guy would have ever believed that God existed. And he saw what happened here and has now accepted my invitation to learn more about the Lord. He's taken the Bible, he's taken the scriptures, and he's now open to actually considering that there may be a God. And so I don't know what happened with that man. I don't know if he gave his life to Christ. I don't know any of the, I don't know any of that. I would love to find out someday. It's one of my goals to somehow track him down. But I don't know what happened. But what I do know that happened is when it got put into that perspective that maybe I needed to break my foot so that there was someone who may not have ever heard the name of Jesus or the message of Christ or that he forgives us for our sins. That guy may never have heard that or never taken it seriously unless he saw my foot mangled and then my foot in a position where, and again, I'm not saying it was miraculously healed that I could hop up and start walking, right? But the fact that I didn't need to have any surgeries was mind blowing. That everything was, it was as if a surgeon went in overnight and put everything where it needed to go to heal naturally. And I'm happy to report I have 98% movement in that ankle now. I mean, I've since stepped back into the cage and competed like on TV as an MMA fighter with that foot, you know? And so I look back at that a lot. And at first I didn't understand why. I didn't understand why I had to break my foot. Like I was doing all the things that I needed to do. I was being faithful to the Lord. But now I realize God works in really mysterious ways. And the miracle for me was that I got to be the tool that unfortunately it cost me an ankle and about 8 months of recovery, right? But I didn't have to leave my mission. I was able to basically get in a wheelchair, get on crutches. We rode the bus a lot to talk to people on the bus, right? We got creative with it, but I didn't get sent home from my mission. I got to stay, which is what I wanted, and an opportunity for someone to hear the gospel who may never have heard it. They got that opportunity. So I thank the Lord, and I honestly give him praise that he felt me worthy enough to use me in such a way.
That's awesome. I love that story. There's some of it in there that, you know, we were talking earlier and I say, I love your story. And it's like, well, it was kind of a painful story, you know,
but yeah. Yeah.
Just being able to see how God can take every circumstance in our life and use it for good. It's beautiful. And that's how I know that there is a God, right? And there might be people listening to this that are on the fence or searching for something, or they've never experienced God. And hearing your story, it might be able to plant a little seed, right? But that's not going to totally convince somebody one way or the other, right? Us as individuals, as God's children, we have to experience him for ourselves, for us to really know, you know? So I give that challenge all the time to our listeners, is go and experience God. Go look for his angels. Find reasons for the existence of God.
Yep. And there's a scripture that, if it's okay with you, I'd like to share.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm going to read this one from the NRSV UE version here. But for any of you who are listening to this, and maybe on the fence if God exists, kind of in the same spot as my radiology technician, astonished German friend, right? There's a scripture in here that is very near and dear to my heart. I keep about 8 of my favorite scriptures on this chain, closest to my heart, because they're very near and dear to me. And this particular one is one that has gotten me through a lot of hard times, and it helps me remember that God cares about you and that he will never forget you. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 49, chapters 14 through 16. So this is what it says. But Zion hath said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget thee. For you see, I have engraven you upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. And so for me, and I think everyone can relate to this, there are times where you feel completely forgotten, completely alone, and like no one cares. Right. And we all will go through this at some point in our life. But this particular scripture points out when I have the feeling to curse God and be like, how have you forgotten me? Right. This is a real subtle reminder to kind of smack me on the head and be like, hey, dummy, how could I possibly forget you? Every single time I look at my hands, I'm reminded of you. That's why I did it. You know? So for any of you who are maybe struggling to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and maybe feel like he doesn't care or he's not aware of you, if you were the only person on planet Earth that he needed to hop up on that cross for, he would have done it. And every time he looks at his hands, he thinks about you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. That's a beautiful scripture. And usually at the end of our episodes, we always ask our guests to share one thing that they know to be true. There was a lot of truth in that already, but if there's anything else that you'd like to share, something that you know to be true, we'd love to hear it.
It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how long you did it. Doesn't matter any of that, any of your past. None of that matters. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, he will heal you. And spiritually, physically, whatever it is, he will take care of you. So if you ever have even a mustard seed of faith, give it to God and let him do the rest.
Amen. Thank you, Dalton. That was, I loved it. I loved having you on the show. And I know you had mentioned that you maybe had another miracle story to share, but maybe we'll have you come share that one in a few months or something.
Absolutely.
All right, Dalton, thanks again for sharing your story.
Yeah.
And we're so thankful, and we'll let everybody go. Go look for those angels.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.